Today we'll be speaking about, was Haman good for the Jews? Isn't it strange that we name a cake after Haman? It's like calling a cake after Ahmadinejad or Abu Mamzer cake or an Arafat cake. Why was, Alfie, why was Haman Zolche that we name a cake after him? You wouldn't call a cake after Arafat, would you?
No, you have too much to hear.
What's the answer?
Rabbi,
what?
In German,
yeah.
They're not called Haman Taschen, they're called Haman's ears.
Haman's ears,
yeah,
oh, okay.
I think he had big ears.
So whatever he had, it's a covet for Haman, right? The Talmud says in Megillah, page 14, that Haman did more for the Tshuva movement, incredible, than the 48 Nevi'im. The 48 Nevi'im and the seven lady prophets, they all said, do tshuva, anechtik m'tog. How do you say that in English? Anechtik m'tog.
You don't say it in English.
You don't say it in English. Anechtik m'tog, right? Haman comes around, boom, all the Yidden became Haredi. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, it says. All the Yidden became what? From. So Haman did more for the Tshuva movement in what than...
Purim is from.
Pretty amazing, right? And so in a weird, twisted way, we'll develop this idea as we go along, how whatever God does, even to us, doesn't make any sense. It's a story behind the story. You got to look at the mask or behind the mask. And... we give cover to Haman, very strange as it sounds, that he did more for the Tshuva movement. So all the Jews became religious. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. So how come Mashiach didn't come? So Chabad said, because the Rebbe wasn't born yet. But really, if they all did Tshuva, why didn't Mashiach come, Beryl? So like Rav Aaron said, because they did Tshuva, but they remained in Babylon, Long Island. They remained in Babylon. Not a joke. So therefore, what? As Rav Aaron said last week, Gemara Yuma, page 9, where Rish Lakish tells the Babylonians, I hate you. Right? Incredible. Because even though you guys are from, but you stayed in Babylon Borough Park, you didn't make Aliyah, and therefore Mashiach couldn't come. Beryl, it's not a joke. Look at Tractate Yuma, page 9. Frightening Gemara over there. That even though you're from, you don't make Aliyah, you're preventing the Messiah from coming, even though you're Haredi, if you don't live in Israel. Tractate Yuma, page 9. So even though all the Yidden became from, they did not make Aliyah, only 42,360 out of millions, and therefore the Mashiach didn't come. Mashiach could have gone 2,400 years ago, Rabbi Yaakov. That means no Holocaust. That's what it meant. It would have meant no Holocaust.
No Inquisition.
No. How does it fit in with today? Well, let's talk about it. Let's see how it fits in with today. First, let's discuss about the six mitzvahs. Purim, their six mitzvot, right? To read the Megillah, to say Al HaNisim, to read Vayovei Amalek, right? Purim morning. By us, it's Monday. The whole world is Sunday. Can we all get along?
Sunday night, Monday, right?
So... to read Vayovei Amalek, mitzvah number 4, Matonas Levyonim, mitzvah 5, Mishloach Monot, and mitzvah 6, Suda im Yayin, saving the best for last, right, Sonia? Suda with Yayin, Achron Chaviv. We always have jello. So therefore, the best mitzvah we save for last, right, Alfie? Because if you do the Suda with Yayin before, you'd be too shikker to do the other 5 mitzvahs, right? So therefore, you have to what? Leave Suda and Yayin for last. But what's the real reason why you don't have the Suda until the end of the day? What's the real reason? So a Jew answers Akasha with Noch Akasha, right? You know, they plan to kill us, we won, let's eat. Right? All Jewish festivals revolve around that. Why is it so important, all Jewish festivals, all mitzvot revolve around Brit Milas, Asiyum, they all revolve around what? Eating, right? Food.
Jews and food,
right? So the answer is, when you have a Yom Tov, a Shabbat, or you finish a tractate, there's a tremendous amount of Kedusha in the air. Love is in the air. Kedusha is in the air. right? Finish the tractate, Brit Mila, Chasana, Shabbos Yontif. There's a tremendous amount of extra Kedusha being showered from him. So the Neshama absorbs that Kedusha. But the human being is made up of Guf and Neshama. So the Guf says, what am I, spectator sport? You know, I also want to participate in the Kedusha of the event. So how does the Guf participate in the event, Alfie? What? How? The Guf says, what am I, chopped liver?
Right.
So by eating chopped liver, don't you get it? The Guf gets to participate in the event of the Shabbat, the Suda, the tractate that you finish, whatever there is. So therefore, we leave the Suda for last. Because first you have to do the five other mitzvot of Purim. Megillah, Ala Nisim, reading by Yovei Amalek, Mataras Tavyonim, Shloach Manos. When the Neshama is so saturated with all those five mitzvot, now Alfie, we're ready to make the transfusion. To pass some of that Kedusha from the Neshama to the Guf. How? Manja manja. I think it's called spiritual osmosis. So therefore you leave the Suda for last. First the Neshama has to absorb the Kedusha of the five mitzvot. Now we're ready to make the spiritual transfusion. Through eating, the Guf gets to participate in the event of whatever it is. And it gets to absorb part of the Kedusha from the Neshama, because after all, a human being is made up of body and soul. Now, we wear a mask on Purim. It's not just a child's game. We know Purim, Yom Kippurim, the Ari HaKadosh quotes the Zohar, a day like Purim, incredible. They seem to be totally opposite. How could the Zohar compare Purim, when anything goes, and you indulge, to Yom Kippurim? Seems to be totally opposite. And yet the Holy Zohar says the Torah never calls it Yom Kippur. That's Yiddish. The Torah always calls it Yom Kippurim, a day like Purim. Incredible. The holiest day, the Day of Atonement, has aspects of what? Of Purim. Even though they seem to be totally opposite days.
Where does the word Yom Kippur occur?
Yom Kippur never in the Torah, Baruch. It's Yiddish. It always says Yom Kippurim in the Torah. Never says Yom Kippur. Never, never, never. That's Yiddish. Always says Yom Kippurim, a day like Purim. But how could you compare? They seem to be totally opposite, Alfie.
Well, they are opposites.
And yet, opposites attract. Ooh. Opposites attract. What? Alfie said something gewaldig. Alfie said something gewaldig.
Can of Kippur's snake, Kippur's herring. It says Kippur's Yom Kippur.
Right. What do you do on Yom Kippur? You totally neglect the body. You forget about the body. And you focus on a soul, man. On Purim, Oilam Hafuch. You ever drink a cafe Hafuch? It's the opposite. We neglect the soul and we focus on the body. Alfie said a very deep word. We know that the body is just the mask that the soul wears. The body is the mask. That's not really me. If you look in Genesis 1, Rabbi Aaron, the Adam l'nefesh chaya, the Adam l'nefesh chaya, says Unculus, what's a human being? Ruach mamalala. A human being is not his bodysuit. That's the masquerade. A human being, ruach mamalala. Ruach means what? A spirit that speaks. That's who I am. The body is a mask that I wear. So on Yom Kippur, what do? We neglect the mask and focus on the neshama. On Purim, it's just the opposite. We focus on the mask, the guf. Not to mix me up, but what? Fasten your seatbelts. Says the Holy Ari, the Talmud says in Sochim, Ein Kiddush El B'Mokam Suda. So what does that mean, Alfie? Technically it means that Shabbos morning when you have Kiddush in the shul, right, and you hear Kiddush, you have to have a little Suda, the Yoytze Kiddush. You have to have some cake, right, or at least two glasses of wine. Ein Kiddush El B'Mokam Suda. Herring is not enough. You have to have mizonot. Otherwise, you got to go home and make kiddush again. Right? Ain kiddush el makom suda. But the Ari HaKadosh gives it a Kabbalistic spin. Ain kiddush el makom suda, says the Holy Ari. What does that mean? Ain kiddush el makom suda. He says something amazing. Ain kiddush el makom suda, says the Ari, means. And this is why he says that Yom Kippur, that Purim, if utilized properly, Purim can be greater than Yom Kippur. Why? He says, Ein Kiddush El Mokom Suda means as follows, that if you want to gauge someone's Kiddusha, it's not how a person behaves when he's fasting. Because when you're fasting, it's not hard to be holy. You're sitting in shul all day, tzebrochen, hungry, tired, you don't smell too good. Even if you wanted a sin, who'd want to sin with you? Forget about it, right? But when you're indulging, when you let yourself loose and you still act like a Jew, says the Ari, that's the true test. Ein kiddush el makom suda, if you want to gauge someone's kiddusha, it's not how they behave when they're fasting. It's how they behave when they're feasting. That's how you gauge a person's true kiddusha. Not a kunst to be a tzaddik when you're tzabrach and hungry, tired, too tired to sin anyway. But when you're letting yourself go, like Purim, and you remember you're a yid, that's ain kiddush. If you want to measure the kiddusha, b'mokam suda, how a person behaves when he what? When he indulges. So Purim, if utilized properly, can be what? Can be what? Yom Kippurim, even greater, because it's much more difficult to serve God by indulging than it is by serving God by what?
Fasting.
Ah, pretty amazing.
Rabbi.
1 second, please, doctor. The real test of Kiddusha is not to deny Gashmias, but to what? Sanctify it. Raise it up. Pretty amazing, huh? Ein kiddush el makom suda. Yes, doctor. What were you saying?
Purim and Yom Kippurim, they're the opposite of each other. Because on Yom Kippur, you eat first and then you fast.
Beautiful.
And on Purim,
it's the opposite.
First,
excellent.
And then you eat.
That's my Tanis Esther shear. You anticipated it. Right? It's been a hapachu. Yom Kippur, you eat a lot and you fast the next day. And Purim is Moshe Kapoya. Right? First you fast and then you eat. Okay? Very good. Now, Megillas Esther. Why is it called Megillas Esther? I mean, Mordechai was also a star. Right, Alfie? So we call Megillat Esther. Mordechai was also a hero there. So Megillat Esther means legalot et ahester. Legalot et ahester. What does that mean? To reveal the hidden one. Ah, God is wearing a mask on Purim, isn't he? Our job is to peekaboo. You can't fool me, God. I know it's you. Ah, it's behind. You're behind the mask. We're all wearing a mask. What's our mask? Our bodysuit. And God is wearing a mask. There's a strange Rashi in Tilim 22. Tilim 22 is Ayelet HaShachar. So the Talmud says, who's Ayelet HaShachar? Esther. Esther's called Ayelet HaShachar. She's called the morning star. Because just like the blackest hour of the night is right before dawn, Esther appeared on the scene in the blackest hour of Jewish history. So she's called Ayelet HaShachar. In there, Rashi makes an amazing comment, doesn't see have anything to do with the psalm. Rashi says as follows, Psalm 22, Pasuk 30, Shehametim v'shat netilat neshama royin penei ashchina. Wow. A person, when he dies, gets to see the face of God. You hear what Rashi says? Rashi doesn't talk about Kabbalah. It's the only time in his parish Hashametim b'shat netilat neshama royin penei ashrina. Why does Rashi say that in the psalm that deals with what? With Purim. With Esther. Astir panai. Esther min ha-Torah minai. And where do we see Esther in the Torah? There's a verse in Deuteronomy 30. Monochi astir panai. God says, I'm hiding my face. You can't see me. So God wears a mask. He hides behind nature. Hateva is gematria Elohim. Hateva, nature, is the gematria 86. God hide behind nature. And we also hide. We hide our godly soul by wearing a mask. What's the mask called, Alfie? My body. So Rashi says when a person dies, he sheds his mask, i.e. his body. So God sheds his mask. Wow. Wow. Unmasked. Purim is such a great Yom Tov. All of life, we're wearing a mask, which is the goof. God wears a mask. What's God's mask called? Hateva. Now, Hateva means nature, Connie. But literally, the word Teva is from the word Toveya. What does Toveya mean? Submerged, hidden. The modern Hateva means nature. God is hiding behind nature. We, our godly soul, the Ruach Mamal, is hiding behind a mask. All of life is a masquerade. Don't be fooled by your mask or his mask. Purim teaches you look behind the mask. God is always there, playing peekaboo with us or hide and seek, to give us free will. Because if God wasn't wearing a mask, we'd be like robots. And only what? When we have free will are we mentioned. Otherwise, we're robots. So God has to wear the mask, i.e. Teva, to allow us to play the game of free will. Otherwise, no pain, no gain. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Purim reminds us that all of life is a mask. Don't be fooled by the mask. Look behind the mask. The godly soul and God himself is hiding behind nature. So Megillat Esther is legalot et ha-hester. Our tafkid in life is to what? Reveal the hidden one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides behind nature. So, why is there a mitzvah to get drunk on Purim? To get shikr? Was Haman good for the Jews? As we said, the Talmud says, Haman accomplished more for the Tshuva movement than all the 48 Nevi'im. You hear? So you know why you get drunk? It's absurd. It doesn't make any sense. We drink to remind us that in an absurd, twisted way, we owe our continued existence to whom? To Haman. Isn't that crazy? We need the stimulus of wine to celebrate our victory over Haman, who arose because of our desire to assimilate and become more Persians than the Persians. So we drink because it's absurd. In a strange way, we owe our existence, Moshe, to whom? If Haman wouldn't have come on the scene, the Yidden would have what? Totally assimilated in Borough Park. I mean in Persia, Babylon, Long Island. Haman reminded us who we are. When the Jews want to forget who they are, Hashem raises up our Haman. You know that the Jews in Germany, they wore their World War I medals on the trains to Auschwitz. Connie, it's a fact. The Jews are World War I veterans. They wore their medals on the train to Auschwitz.
They were probably the first to die.
Huh? Isn't that incredible? It takes a Haman or a Hitler to remind us that you can't assimilate.
That's why Haman said, Yishna Am Mefuad 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 Mefuad
Yes, the Navi Yecheskel. The timeless message of the Megillah is, don't get too cozy in Chutz Laretz. Come home to Israel. Huh? Don't get too comfortable in Chutz Laretz. So when the Jews, remember, 50 years before Haman, Koresh had already given permission to the Yidden to what?
Go back.
No one was interested. So God had to send the Haman. to remind us we don't belong in Babylon, Long Island. Come home. Pretty amazing. Huh? So we drink. It's absurd that in a ridiculous way we owe our existence to a Haman, because the anti-Semites remind us when we want to forget, when we want to assimilate, they remind us who we are. Now, there's a great tzaddik called Rabbi Weissmandel, who escaped the trains of Auschwitz. Dovber Weissmandel, a great Kabbalist, he wrote a book called Torah Chemed. And he, before computers, he did Bible codes. He counted, there's exactly 12,110 letters in Megillas Esther. You don't believe it, you can count. There's exactly 12,110 letters in Megillas Esther. What's so remarkable about that? He says, if you count from the Aleph of Bereshis, Genesis 1:1, the word Bereshis is an Aleph, count 12,110 letters, you get a Samach. If you count from the Samach, another 12,110 letters, you get what? Tough. You count another 12,110 letters, you get a Resh. So Megillas Esther is already encoded in the Chumash by counting letters centuries before Yiddish Rabbi Yaakov. Spacing. Esther has 12,110 letters, the Megillah. If you count from the Aleph and Bereshis, 12,110, you'll get a Samach. Count another 12,110, you get a Tav. Count another 12,110, you get a Resh, spelling out, skipping, spelling out Esther. Incredible. Therefore, the rabbis are called Sofrim. What does Sofrim mean? Counters. Because the rabbis count the letters in a Torah scroll. And therefore, if one letter is missing, the entire scroll is puzzled. Because it throws off the count. Ah. So the incredible secrets in every letter of the Torah, there's incredible secrets. Okay, so. So why is there a mitzvah to have a suda on Purim and get drunk? So he said, because the whole idea is ridiculous that we owe our existence to Haman. But it's much deeper than that. The Gemara Megillah says, why did God bring Haman on the Jews of Shushan? Because we attended Achashverosh's wild party, where the food wasn't kosher, and the entertainment certainly was not kosher. Certainly not.
I thought the food was
Mahadrin
and
the wine was but, Hadak. But you admit that the entertainment was not kosher. Well, that you admit, okay?
But don't forget they had a mechitza.
It was a drunken orgy.
They had a
drunken orgy. This week's Pashas, Truma. Right. Does God need a golden Mishkan? Says the Medrash. Yovoy Zov Shebe Mishkan. Ve'yechaper al Azov Shenasa Bo Egel. The whole universe is supposed to be God's Mishkan, right? Mizbach Adama Tashali, God said, that's enough. But the Jews showed that they're into gold. Goldsmith, Goldstein, Goldberg.
Goldman.
The Jews are into gold.
Gold.
So they made a golden getchka. So God said, take gold, Alfie, and do it my way. Da-da-da-da. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. There's a plan A and a plan B. Even for him, plan A seldom works out. Even for him. God created the world. It failed. He washed a washout. God had to start over with Noah. Isn't that plan B? So plan A, the whole universe is supposed to be God's Mishkan. We love gold. Huh? So God says, take gold and what? Make a golden Mishkan out of it. The tikkun comes from the chet. The way you sin is the way you repair the damage. You see that throughout Judaism. So we sinned with a wild feasting party. So now the rabbis say, take the party. And what? Do it my way. Now you make a party with wine, but you do it for him. So you're elevating the what? The mundane. You're sanctifying the secular. That's what Judaism is all about.
It's a concept of immunity.
Of what? Of immunity.
Not immunity.
Uh huh. Oh. You inject them with a what? With a little bit of polio.
Ooh.
Pretty amazing. Oh, that's right. Let the red cow, not the mad cow. Right? So what does the Medrash say? Let the egel, the calf, let the mother come. What's the mother of a cow? Elsie the cow, and clean up the doo-doo. It's a paraduma. Pretty amazing, huh? Right? Pretty amazing. So therefore, we have a suda, because we sinned with the feast. Now we're going to sanctify and elevate the seed. We sinned with gold. We're going to take gold, and we're going to elevate it. Mishkan. Wow. Pretty good, right, Connie? Go for it. Now, we're going to go for it, right? So Purim Yom Kippurim, this idea goes so far. We know that Yom Kippur atones Bein Adam Lamakom. The Mishnah says in Yuma, Yom Kippur will not atone if you sin against a fellow Jew. Only atones to see man and God. How do you get kapara for Bein Adam Lachavero? Purim. Mishloach Monot Suda, goodwill, through sending food presents, inviting people to the party. That's how you get kapara ben odom lechavero. We know which sin is worse.
Ben odom lechavero.
Much worse.
Definitely.
Because when you don't put on tefillin, or you don't eat matzah on Pesach, you're sinning against God. When you sin against the fellow Yidl, you're sinning against the fellow Yidl and God also. It's two for Alfie. Oy. The sin is twice as bad. Ben Odom Lechavero is twice as bad. So therefore, Purim, Yom Kippur, you only get kapara Ben Odom Lamakon. Odom Lechavero, the Mishnah says, you don't get kapara in Yuma. No, that you have to wait for Purim. So who should you send food presents to? Not only your friends, people that you had an argument with, that you insulted. You send them a food present, you're getting kapara Ben Adam Lechavero, which is more important, because sinning against a fellow Jew, you're also sinning against his Father in heaven. Therefore, when you greet a single Jew, you say Shalom Aleichem, even a single Jew, because you're greeting him and his Shalom Aleichem, and the Shekhinah is Vosili Migdash V'Shechanti B'Tocham. God dwells inside every Jew. It doesn't say B'Tocho, it says B'Tocham in the Parsha. God dwells inside every Jew, the godly soul. It's a verse in Job 31, that chelik elahayim imal, that every Jew has an actual portion of God himself inside of him, the tzelem elahim. So when you sin against a fellow Jew, it's twice as bad. You're sinning against him and the Shekhinah that lives inside of him. So by Purim, to the shloach monot and the suda, matan tzavyonim, you're getting kapara, says the Ari, odom lechaveroi, which is even more important. So therefore, Purim has this aspect of kapara. Pretty amazing, huh? Which you have on Yom Kippur too. Also on Purim, there was a new Kabbalah Satorah. Right? Kimu v'kiblu, a new Kabbalah Satorah. So it says in Parshas Mishpatim, when the Yidden got the Torah, it says, Vayoklu vayishtu. The Ramban says, they got the Torah, they made a party. Since Purim, we got the Torah again. This time, not shotgun wedding. So you make a party. Says Ramban, to celebrate Kabbalah Satorah, Kimu Mashi Kiblu Kvar, the Jews celebrated because they got the Torah again. Pretty amazing.
What's the concept of poor itself?
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that, right? We're going to talk about that. Now, the Rambam says something very strange. He says, all the books of the prophets will be canceled. The only book that will remain is Megillas Esther.
And the Chumash
will remain. And the Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. All the books of the prophets will be canceled. Except the only book that doesn't have God's name in it. Isn't that weird?
No.
All the books, Tilim, Yecheskel, they'll be put out to pasture. The only book that doesn't have God's name in it, somehow will remain together with the Torah. That means Megillas Esther will attain the status of what? A chumash, that means you better buy a Megillah Esther now, because it's a Torah scroll is $50,000. You buy a Megillah Esther, it's going to attain the Kiddushah, the Rambam says, of what? Of chumash, the only book that doesn't have God's name, and it's the only book that will remain besides the Chumash and the Torah Shabbat Peh. So one second, let me finish because I got a lot of things to say. One second, yeah. But it doesn't have God's name. Aster Panim, God hides. His name doesn't appear in the whole of Megillah. There's allusions, you're right, but it doesn't appear. Now the Medrash says something as strange. The Medrash says that what? Shafilam kolam ayadim betelim, yemei purim lo yevatlu. That all the festivals will be cancelled when Mashiach comes. The only festival will be what? Purim. Say what? What the whole hotel's going to do? They'll be
lower
out of business.
Their prices.
Huh?
They'll lower their prices.
Now, how could that be?
What about Tisha B'Av?
Well, no, all the Tisha B'Av, Zechariah 8 says that Tisha B'Av will be a yontif. But the Medrash says that all the Mayadim, the Torah festivals, will what? Be canceled except Purim. Isn't that strange? How does that jive with the Ani Mamin, that the Torah that we have will never change? So isn't the Medrash changing the Torah? It says no more Pesach, no more Sukkot, no more Yom Kippur. It's all going to fall by the wayside. The only Chag will be what?
Purim.
How does that jive with what? Ani Mamin, the Torah will never change. How?
Because everything is in the Torah itself.
Because if you analyze it, Reb Aaron, all Yom Tovim are included in Purim. You don't believe me? Fasten your seatbelts. Let's start with Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah says, everyone is on trial. Who will live and who will die? Purim. We were all on trial. Who will live and who will die? So Purim has an aspect of what? Of Rosh Hashanah. What's the next Chag? Yom Kippurim, we just said. Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur is a day of atonement ben Adam l'Makom. Purim is a day of atonement ben Adam l'Chaveiro, which is more important. So you see that Purim contains the aspect of what? Yom Kippur.
Plus we fasted on Pesach.
1 minute. What's the next holiday coming up?
Sukkot.
No, let's stop with Pesach.
Pesach,
we got freedom. Let's start. Pesach, we got Chayrut. Chayrut from what? Slavery.
Yep.
Purim is better. We got Chayrut from death. What's more important? So Purim contains the aspect of Pesach also. Chayrut means slavery. Purim is much better. Freedom from death. What's the next holiday? Shavuos. Matan Torah. But the first time was a shotgun wedding. You don't say, I do. It's all over. Purim, we got the Torah this time. What?
Kibu
v'kiblu. This time, voluntarily. So you see, Purim contains an aspect of what? Of Shavuos. Sukkot. What happened on Sukkot? Sukkot, Anane Yakovod. God protected us in the desert from the snakes and the scorpions. Right? God protected us from Haman. It's better than the snake and the scorpions. Ooh. Sukkot, Anane Yakovod. God protected us. Didn't God protect us on Purim? One second. What comes after Sukkot? Simchas Torah. What's Purim all about? The reason that we rejoice and have a suda on Purim is to celebrate
the completion of the Torah.
No, Purim. The Torah we got this time voluntarily. Kibu Masha Kibu Kvar. So it has an aspect. Simchas Torah. Purim is called Yimei Mishteh V'Simcha. The Megillah calls it Yimei Mishteh V'Simcha. So, Purim, we celebrate the Torah. This time we took voluntarily, again, without being forced, and therefore we have a suda. So don't you see, Rav Moshe, that all the aspects of all the chagim, it doesn't mean they'll be canceled. Chalila, the Medrash is allegory. It means Purim will see how all the chagim are really included in what?
You have a question, Rabbi.
In Purim. Wow.
All those chagim,
on all of those chagim, shlosh regalim, we say halil.
Yeah.
Kol shekein, we should serve.
Why'd you say halil on Purim?
Because we're born in Eretz Israel.
For the same reason, we can't celebrate Purim on the same day. Ezra, it's a knas. You guys didn't come home, so therefore, no Hallel, and you can't celebrate the same day. Because we didn't come back to Israel. So therefore, it's like a penalty. No Hallel, and no celebrating on the same day. Pretty amazing. So much so that the Mishnah Brura says as follows, Mi shedinoi likro b'tezvav, eino yochol likro b'liftor livnei yudalid b'yudalid. It is. I have to read the Megillah on the 15th, Moshe, right? I cannot go to Tel Aviv on the 14th and read for people in Tel Aviv on the 14th. Can't we all get along? Aknas, you guys didn't make Aliyah, you remain in the Babylon, Long Island. So therefore, the rabbis put a penalty, no Hallel, and you can't celebrate on the same day. Pretty amazing, huh? Just confusion, imagine. I live in Jerusalem, I cannot go on Sunday to Tel Aviv and read the Megillah. Beryl. Eino yochol likro v'liftor livnei yudalad v'yudalad. Akedei kach. It's pretty amazing,
what
huh?
What happened to Chanukah?
Chanukah was in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we do say Hallel. And we do celebrate what? The same day. Pretty amazing, huh? So we see that all of the Chagim, even Simchas Torah, especially, contains aspects of Moshe Avad. Open the window a little bit. I don't want to fall asleep. Of Purim, right? Now, of Purim, right? So, why will the only book that doesn't have God's name in it, why will that remain, what? The only book in Tanakh, besides the Torah? Why?
Because it contains all the holidays, and it also...
It contains all the holidays. Now, isn't it strange that we call a holiday... Purim is a Persian word for lot. Lots. Thank you. So just because Arafat called the Yom... he made lots, went to kill the Yidden, that's why we have to call the holiday lots? The Persian word for lots. Now, if it makes any sense, we should call it, what?
Lox
Day. I don't know. Why do we have to call it? Because, again, we give covet to Haman. Because he called the lottery, went to kill the Yidden, we call Ayantiv what? So to answer this question, Beryl, we have to what? Another kash. The Gemara in Chulin says, Haman min ha-Torah minayin. Where's Haman in the Torah? How could he be in the Torah? He lived centuries after. Says the Gemara, Hamina eats. God told Adam, Hamina eats. Did you eat from that tree that I told you not to eat? What's the Gemara playing musical words? Just because Haman has the same spelling as Amin, did you eat from that tree? So Haman is in the Torah. Get real. Haman, Hamin. So that's why Haman is in the Torah. What? Mina Torah Minayit. What is the Gemara tying Haman to the Eight Sadas? What is a word game? There's a pasuk in Mishlei, Mayim Ginovim Yimtaku. Stolen waters are sweeter. Adam had everything. He could eat any tree in the garden. One tree he couldn't eat. Was he happy? Instead of focusing on all the good trees that Hashem said he could eat, he focused on what? What he couldn't have. That's Satan's game plan. You can't be happy what you have because you can't have this one item. So it gives you a bad hair day. You hear this? Mind you nothing you talku. Adam's downfall is similar to Haman. Haman had everything in the world. The Megillah said, a huge family, real estate, stocked bonds, he had everything. but he couldn't enjoy it because there's one dirty Jew sitting at the king's gate that wouldn't bow down to him. He couldn't enjoy all of his what? Treasures and possessions. Haman min ha-Torah min ha-Ayin. Ooh. Haman made the same mistake as Adam. A person is miserable, even though instead of counting his blessings, Satan makes him focus on what? What he doesn't have. So he can't enjoy what he has. That was Adam's downfall, and that was Haman's downfall. You see the connection? You know why the Yontif is called lottery? The Torah is teaching us what's Purim's legacy. Be happy with your lot in life. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Woulda married this one, woulda married that one. Coulda been this, I coulda been that. You make yourself miserable. Like Haman made himself miserable. He had everything. That little dirty Jew sitting at the king's gate spoiled his...
Okay.
And Adam had everything in the Garden of Eden, everything. One tree he didn't have. So that's the one that he longed for, and that's why he couldn't enjoy what he had. The message of Purim, lot, is be happy with your lot in life. Don't act like Haman or like Adam. Appreciate what you have. Focus on what you have. You'll be happy. Otherwise, you'll be miserable. It's a state of mind. But that's Satan's trap. You gotta have that. You gotta have that. Can't focus on what you have. Now, the Rambam says that of all the six mitzvahs of Purim, the most important is what? Matoras Lavyonim. Why is Matoras Lavyonim so important on Purim? There's a mitzvah to give tzedakah every Tuesday and Wednesday. Why? And the Rambam goes further. The Rambam says if you give tzedakah on Purim, you're compared to the Shekhinah. The Rambam does not engage in exaggerations, Evelyn. The Rambam says, you give tzedakah on Purim, you're compared to God. I mean, it's a mitzvah to give tzedakah anytime. And he doesn't state that in Hilchos Tzedakah. What's so special about giving tzedakah on what? On Purim, that the Rambam says, if you give tzedakah on Purim, doyme l'shchinah. And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu, L'hach yod ruach shvalim, l'hach yod lev nitkoyim. What? No, it's tzedakah. He quotes a verse in Isaiah. L'hach yod lev nitkoyim. So why dafke on Purim? These laws should be in Hilchas Tzedakah. We know there's a mitzvah v'halachta bedrachav, Moshe. There's a mitzvah to walk in God's ways. To act godlike, you know? We know that. So what does the Rambam say if you cheer up miskain people on Purim, you're compared to God? We were all miskainim on Purim. Weren't we all aniyim? We're going to lose the most precious possession that we have. What's the most precious possession?
Life.
A life. We were all miskainim. We were all depressed and shvalim on Purim. We're the worst ani. Losing our most precious possession, our lives. God made us happy on Purim. Please, so when we cheer up Miskanim on Purim, we're acting like God. One second, please. We're acting like God. Dafke on Purim, because God cheered up. We were Lev Nitkayim, the whole Jewish people were Miskanim. So God's Purim gift to us was what?
Life
itself. Life. So when we cheer up Miskain people on Purim, Dafke on Purim, we're acting like Him. We're acting like Him. So therefore, the Rambam doesn't put this law in Hilchas Tzedakah. Only Hilchas Purim, when you give tzedakah and cheer up poor people on Purim. Even though giving tzedakah is great any day, but you're only compared to God when you do it on Purim, because God gave us back. We were all poor. Losing our most precious possession, life, and God restore that. So when we cheer up poor, miskin people, please, we're acting just like God, and we are Dome L'Shechina. Now, of all the six mitzvot, the Rambam says the most important mitzvah is Matonas Levyonim. Why is that the most important mitzvah?
Because
Didn't we just say why the holiday is called Purim? Be happy with your lot in life. How can a person be happy with his lot in life? Look at the miskin. On Purim, go see how Nebuch poor people live. And then you'll appreciate what you have in life. So therefore, the most important mitzvah is Matanas Levyonim on Purim. How do you appreciate what you have? By looking at the poor people. Look how fortunate I am that I have much more than they have. This way I can be happy with my Purim in life. You make a comparison. And therefore the most important mitzvah on Purim is Matanas Levyonim, because this way it helps me focus on my lot in life and appreciate what I have. How well off I have it compared to what? To the Ani. Pretty amazing, huh? Compared to the Ani. So now we get Alfie to the most question. If Megillah is going to be the only book left with the Chumash, Chachman doesn't have God's name in it. Strange. The only book that doesn't have God's name in it will remain with the Chumash. Why? Now, the Megillah played out over 9 years, Connie. You think Esther, when she won the beauty contest, you think that, why is it happen? I'm a good Beis Yaakov girl. Why should I win the beauty contest to sleep with that pagan bum? She didn't know. Why? Only 9 years later, looking back, did she connect the dots. All of us in life, we all have a Purim. Things happen to us, we don't know why. God is wearing the mask. Doesn't make no sense to us. All of us are writing our own Megillah. Sometimes it takes 90 years looking back to connect the dots. But we have to know Megillat Esther. There is a plan. There's God behind the mask. Even though, why are you doing this to me, Hashem? Esther said, Eli, Eli, Lama, Lama Zaftani. Only 9 years later did she connect the dots. Sometimes it takes much longer. Megillas Esther teaches all of us have a Purim in our lives. And we don't know why. But we know that he's behind the mask. He's playing hide and seek, peekaboo with us. Because when the going gets tough, do the tough get going? There is a plan. Even when it seems Hashem is not present, he's behind the mask, the galot at the hester. All the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle in our own lives. All of us are writing a personal Megillah. And sometimes we cannot connect the dots until when? When we pass over to the other side. Oh. Now, so why is God's name not in the Megillah? So first of all, how many names does God have in the first place? Nachmanides says he has 304,805 names. Say what? The Ramban says in his Akdamah to Sefer Bereishis, I'll read you the Ramban. Alpi Kabbalah, he writes, Ki kol haTorah kula. Every letter in the Torah, Shemotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every letter in the Torah, says the great Nachmanides, is a name of God. You hear what he says? So the Ramban is telling us that how many names does God have? 304,805 names, because that's how many letters there are on a Torah scroll. Therefore, if one letter is missing, Alfie, the whole is, why? It's not just one letter, it's the name of God. Oh. You know why the Megillah doesn't have God's name in it? The entire Megillah is all his name. Oh, every twist and turn. Mordechai just happened to walk by when big son Moserech was plotting. Kowinky dinky. He couldn't walk by 5 minutes later, 5 minutes earlier. Every incident in the Megillah announces Hashem, who's wearing a mask, but he's the Shoyme Yisrael. Mikre in Hebrew, kowinky dinky, is gematria. The letters are Rakmei Hashem. So the entire Megillah is all the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you don't need no formal name. Because every word announces Hashem as the one who is what? Wearing the mask, hiding behind the mask. But we know that what? Alf, you can't fool me, God. Peekaboo. I'm going to look behind the mask. Just like I'm wearing a mask, my bodysuit masked who I am. Ruach mamalala, tselem elohim, chelik elohai mimal. He's also wearing a mask. His mask is called Kowinky Dinky. Rabbi Yaakov, you can't fool me. Ah! Ooh, that's why Purim is such a holy day. It reminds us that we're wearing a mask, he's wearing a mask, and Rashi in Psalm 22 says, when a person dies, his mask comes off, the guf, and his mask comes off. No more playtime. The game is over, and the fun begins. Ooh. That's why the Jew is the eternal optimist. We have to stick around. We have a long game to play. We got a long game to play, 120 years. But we have to know it's a game. Ah. Pretty amazing, huh? So, Esther min HaTorah minayin, Deuteronomy 31, Alfie. God says, V'anochi astir ponai. I'm wearing a mask. Your job in life is what? To unmask me. Peekaboo. Look behind the gorilla mask. What you see is not what you get. Don't be fooled. Now, strange Gemara Masechta Megillah. Alfie, very strange. The Gemara says that the whole mess of Purim happened because the Yidden did the mitzvah of Omer. Ramosha, you understand this? There are many more important mitzvahs, in my humble opinion, than Omer. I mean, Shabbos, isn't Shabbos more important? The Gemara Megillah says, the Nes Purim happened because when Haman came to arrest Mordechai, what parsha was he teaching them? Omer. What does Omer mean? You take a kilo of barley on the second day of Pesach, Alfie, and you what? You bring it to him. So because Mordechai was teaching the Kindalach that mitzvah, the Nes Purim came. Wait a minute. Aren't there more important mitzvahs? Shabbos, Mila. What's it all about? Why in the schus of Omer, the Omer barley, the Korban to Hashem, did Hashem send the Purim miracle? What's the kesher? Remember, Omer of barley, Rabbi Aaron, Farmer Schwartz has to plow, and he has to plant, and he has to harvest, and he has to winnow, and he has to grind. Who made this delicious barley and wheat? Who? I did. It's all me. No. He takes a kilo of this barley, and he says, God, it's all you. Even though I planted, and I harvested, and I plowed, and I winnowed, and I grinded, I did all the work, I know that what, Alfie? He did it. Whenever you plant a barley seed, would a grape come up? Not that, right? Why not? Who makes the seed decay? Looks like the farmer did all the work. It's me. No. When he brings that carbon oimer to the Beis HaMikdash on Pesach, what's he saying, Reb Moshe? I acknowledge, God, that all my hard work, I couldn't have done it without you. The farmer does all the mikreh. Looks like a mikreh. A teva. By bringing the carbon oimer to the Beis HaMikdash, the farmer acknowledges that even what we call the most natural thing in the world, Alfie, you put a seed in the ground, and then it grows, right? Natural. You harvest, you winnow, you grind. Automatic, no? No. It's a game. It's a mask. The farmer brings the carbon, he acknowledges that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling the strings. That even though he went through all the stages to make that wheat, that barley, but without Hashem, nothing would happen. The world is not an automatic pilot. That's the message of Purim. It makes us think, focus, and realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind every shrit and trit. How do you say that in English? Behind every shrit and trit.
Nook and cranny?
Nook and cranny, I like it. The Thomas English muffins had a lot of nooks and crannies. Oh, I remember those muffins. They had OU on them. God is in every nook and cranny, Alfie. You don't need God's name in the Megillah. Because every turn of events, that's him. He is pulling the strings. But he's wearing a mask. Don't be fooled by the mask. That's why Purim is such a holy day. You can reach a level even greater than Yom Kippurim. Then you're pretty amazing, right? Both of them are one-dimensional days. Yom Kippur, you focus on the soul. Purim, you focus on the body. It's more difficult to serve God by indulging than it is by what? Abstaining. Right? What do Catholics believe? You got to be a monk? Run away from the world? Shut yourself off in a monastery? That's how you attain holiness? No. Judaism, the first mitzvah of the Torah is what? Make love to your wife. The first mitzvah of the Torah.
Celibacy.
It's the first mitzvah of the Torah. Pruvu. Alfie, I'm not joking. The first mitzvah of the Torah, to make love to your wife. Isn't that incredible? Mishkan. Why are you learning about the Mishkan? We haven't had a Mishkan in 3,300 years. So the Kabbalists say the Mishkan is a model of every Yiddish home. What do you have in a Yiddish home? You have a shulchan? You have a menorah? Candelabra, right? You have the mizbeach, the tanur, where you cook the food? The food is like the korban, right? So the Mishkan is kodesh, kodesh hakadoshim. So the Jewish living room and kitchen is the kodesh. But the Mishkan had Kodesh HaKadoshim. Where is the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the house? Who said that? Who said that?
Lillian.
Me? What do you have in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? You have the lovebirds. Zohar, they came in an erotic embrace when the Babylonians went in there. They freaked out. The Jewish people, the holy nation, and the Holy of Holies have what? Erotic images? In the Holy of Holies, the Zohar, they came embracing. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the Jewish bedroom. Right. When husband and wife come together, the act is called Kiddushin. That's Holy of Holies. Isn't that incredible? Not to separate yourself. That's JCPenney. That's the wrong religion. To run away from life. No. You enjoy life. You sanctify even the mundane. The act of marital relations. You elevate it. You sanctify it. It's called Kiddushin. You become God's partner in creating a mensch. Where else can you become God's partner? Husband and wife come together. They create a human being. They're mamish partnering with him. Isn't that Kodesh Kedoshim? And therefore, if the marital act is not done under proper conditions, it's a terrible sin. Because where there's great kiddusha, the forces of Tumah, what do they do, Rabbi Yaakov?
It's humming, humming.
That's why on Mount Zion, where I teach, there's so many churches. Where there's great kiddusha, the forces of Tumah are circling. So therefore, the marital act, if it's not done properly, is a terrible sin. It's Gilead Ayot. Because again, you need this what? The constant struggle between the forces of kiddusha. The greatest Kedusha, the forces of Tumah have to be there. Otherwise, Alfie, it's not a football game. You got to have that what? That constant struggle. No pain, no gain. Who said that?
You did. That's
what the Mishnah said that.
No, you said that. You said my husband's our best friend.
No, that's right. Without Haman, we'd get spiritually flabby. You know, you got to work out in the gym, you know. You get flabby. If that's true in the physical world, it's certainly true out. Without the Hamans, we get spiritually flabby. So therefore, we call it Hamantashen. We give him COVID. Taka, it's pretty amazing. In a twisted way, we owe Haman a lot. Huh? Otherwise, we would have assimilated totally. Totally. There'll be no Yidden left. When the final solution came out, was posted in Shushan Abira, it says, Ir Shushan Nevocha. The city of Shushan was perplexed. Is that the proper reaction? They posted a final solution to the Jewish problem on the Pashkevilas in Shushan. It's over, all dead. So it should have been Ir Shushan, I don't know, Mitzayer, Boche. It says the Yidden were Nevocha. What does Nevocha mean?
Perplexed.
That's the proper reaction? It should be crying. What's Nevocha? Why were they confused? Who's more loyal to Obama than we are? I mean, to Ahasuerus. The Jews in Poras, they were loyal Persian citizens, loyal to the fatherland. How could this be happening to us? They were Nevocha. Confused. We, German first, the fatherland. Wearing their medals to Auschwitz. How could this be happening to us? Confused. Yeah? I'll tell you a true story. We have a true story. I got to tell you the story. How? There's a true story. The Germans invaded Poland.
1939.
Right. They invaded Poland. They came to this village where the mayor was a Geschmada Yid. A Geschmada Yid. He's a good Catholic now. And he has a good Catholic wife with Catholic kinder. The Gestapo came to him. So what are you coming to me for? I'll show you my conversion papers. I'm a good Catholic. Look at my kids and the wife. We go to church every Sunday. We pray to J.C. Penney. The Gestapo said, yes, but you were born a Jew. He said, what do you mean? I'm a good Catholic. Ask the priest. The priest said, yes. Every Sunday he comes on time, doesn't come late, doesn't talk. So the Gestapo said, we're not convinced. This is a true story. You can read it in the book by, what's her name, Helen Farbstein?
Yeah.
You read that, it's unbelievable. I'll cry. If I cry now, please excuse me. So the Gestapo said, we're not convinced. We're going to arrest you because you're a born Yid, Moshe. They said, one thing will convince us. Come with us to the shul, open up the ark, throw the Torah on the floor, and urinate on it. And if you do that, we are convinced that you're a good Catholic. So he walks with them to shul. He opens up the ark, pulls away the drawer, and he stops. And the Gestapo said, no, take out the Torah, throw it down and urinate on it. He said, I'm not going to do it. So the guy takes out his gun. He says, listen, what are you, nuts? I'm going to blow your head off right here. Throw the Torah on the floor and urinate on it. He said, I'm not going to do it. He cocks the trigger. I'm not going to do it. He says, thank you, Germans. He said, thank you, Germans. Yeah. All my life, I was running away from who I am. Thank you for giving me back my identity.
Wow.
He blew his head off right there.
Wow.
Thank you for giving me back my identity. Yes, koinoi olamoi b'shoa achat, says the Talmud Navoi Zohar 17. He was a geshmada yid, Catholic children, went to church, but in one moment, he got his oil haba. Thank you, Germans. You gave me back my identity. There are many stories like that. God works in very mysterious ways. It's a Purim! It's a Purim.